Daniel chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. And we're going to title this morning's lesson, Chasing Fleas. Chasing Fleas. Notice what it says in verses 1 through 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 24. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. What? Did you see that? He still considered him to be the king. He still considered him to be the authority in the land, and he should be obedient to the king, even though the king was mistreating him. The Lord's anointed stretched forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee in today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But my eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the Proverbs of the ancient, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea. Now, as we come to the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel, following the life of David as he was pursued by King Saul, we find not only that what men pursue, but how we as God's people are to treat our enemies. We learn how the Lord will take over and work on our behalf if we are simply willing to do things God's way. Now, David had been anointed king over Israel by the prophet Samuel. Now, since that day, God had been working on David's life and preparing him for the throne of Israel. He did not immediately go from being anointed with oil to sit upon the throne ruling over all of Israel. It would take a long time, and there was many things that he had to learn if he was going to lead the nation of Israel the way God wanted him to lead it. Biblical leadership involves humility. It involves a yielded heart to serve the Lord. You know what? We must always care more about what people think of the name of God than they do of what our name is all about. Now listen, David was learning in these experiences to have faith in God. He's learning how to trust God with his life. Now all of us need to learn that lesson. You know, we need to examine our hearts. We need to ask ourselves the question, have we learned to trust God? Now, I'm not talking just every now and then. I'm talking about in the dire times when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Not in the good times, and we ought to trust him in the good times, but what about when, you know what, we're faced with enemies? What about when, you know what, things aren't going our way? What about when we're in the midst of a fiery trial? Are you trusting God, or are you trying to scam and scheme your way out of it? There's a difference. And we are to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time. Saul was seeking for David's life with 3,000 chosen men. These men were the best soldiers Israel had to offer. Now, David had been joined, on the other hand, by 600 men. Now, they were discouraged. They were defeated. They were in debt. That's who David commanded. Now, on the run from Saul, David goes to an area called En-Gedi. Now, it's referred to as a place of wild goats. And maybe they were screaming goats. You ever see those things? That is wild. Now, it just so happened that on a certain day, David and his men go into a cave. They sought refuge there. His men, no doubt, would line the cave walls. Now, I'm sure David had people out there figuring out exactly where Saul was, his army was, and they were bringing messages to David. They knew that the army of Saul was close to them. As a matter of fact, they were drawing very close. Suddenly, they hear the shuffling of men's feet, the sounds of military armor and weapons. They knew that this army of 3,000 men were close at hand. And to their surprise, the army stops right there outside their cave. Saul himself goes inside, and it's cool there. And you know what? He positions himself on the ground, and he takes a nap. David's men whispered to him, "Kill him." They wanted Saul dead. However, as we read the Bible story, we see that Saul walked out of that cave unharmed. David wasn't listening to his men. David happened to be listening to the Lord. Now, David stands in the mouth of the cave after Saul and his army were a distance away, and he cries out to King Saul, "After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea?" Now I want you to notice a question that David puts to King Saul in the middle of that verse. After whom dost thou pursue? Then I would like us to consider the phrase, the last phrase, a flea. Let us think about chasing fleas. In other words, what are you pursuing? What is your life goal? And if you got what you are pursuing, in the eyes of God, would it amount to nothing more than fleas? You know, perhaps when you were younger, and what you were living for, maybe it was a certain car you wanted. Maybe it was a certain house you wanted built. Maybe it was fame, popularity, being on YouTube and being an influencer, contributing nothing to society, nor to the kingdom of God. Maybe it's advancement in your career. Maybe all you're pursuing is retirement. You get to 65 and you want to get that RV and you have all this money and you want to travel around the nation doing absolutely nothing but satisfying your curiosity of what this nation's all about. Are you pursuing fleas? does any of that amount to anything? Can you take any of that with you into glory? Nobody ever took a U-Haul to the grave. And those things did not get advanced up into heaven. What are you doing with your life? You know, so many live a wasted life. Oh, they're believers, but they do nothing for the Lord. Not a thing. Some are living for pleasure. Some are living for that adrenaline rush. What are you doing? You're chasing fleas. You're chasing that which doesn't amount to anything. Now, if we think that someday we're going to hold in our hands what we have lived for down here, we're absolutely wrong. The Bible says that every man shall leave this world the same way he came into the world, and that is with nothing but our naked soul. Everything that we have to keep will only be what we've done for God, sending it on ahead for eternity. If for this world only we have lived, then God knows, and we need to know, that what time we put down here is nothing more than chasing fleas. Folks, we're headed somewhere. And you know what? We're not dwelling here permanently. We're on a journey, and it will not end on earth. We're passing through this world. We are pilgrims and sojourners on a place that will last forever. You know, I hope we don't live our lives chasing fleas. There's far more to life than that. And by the way, if you're chasing fleas, you're not getting in on the abundant life Christ wants you to have. Well, David says to Saul, "Saul, what do you get if you catch me? You know, all these months, all this time that you're spending chasing me, what do you get? What if you kill me? Then what? Is the king of Israel come after a dead dog as I? Do you realize, King Saul, you are wasting your energy, your might, your opportunity to live and do something constructive, but instead you're choosing to chase fleas? You know, the world is filled and churches are filled with flea chasers. Flea chasers. We need to stop and think about what we're giving our lives to. What is it going to amount to when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ? What are we giving our energy to? Will it amount to anything for the Lord? Flea chasers. I think it's time we stop chasing fleas and do something for Jesus. Notice next, David spared the king. He spared the king. Now, David had the opportunity to take King Saul's life, and yet he let him live. Now, how many think that King Saul and David were bosom buddies? No. How many think King Saul hated David? It says so, doesn't it? And how many think David was just enamored with the king? No. He considered him an enemy. But notice what it says in verse 1 through 6 of our text. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said to him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I'll deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Just doing a little bit of harm to the one that was anointed of God caused David to be convicted of what he'd done. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. The Lord's anointed has stretched forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. David is saying here, I am not going to lay my hand on that which belongs to God. The king is the Lord's. He is the Lord's anointed. He belongs to the same God that I serve. This man belongs to the same Savior that I know. And our God will take care of him in his time, but I'm not reaching forth my hand against him. Now, David spared Saul's life. And here we see an example of how we're to treat our enemies. David could have put an end to Saul's life, and none of his men would have thought of him as any worse. He could have got rid of Saul. He would no longer have to live in fear and be on the run, be separated from family. All that could have been over with when Saul made his way into that cave. He wouldn't have to worry anymore about Saul, what Saul was saying about him. And I'm sure Saul wasn't giving David glowing reports. David leaves it all in God's hands. How many times has God given us an opportunity to leave things in his hands, but yet we have demonstrated how little faith we had and instead take matters into our own hands? Do you fight your enemies? Do you criticize those who criticize you? You know, I believe we're all guilty of that at some point in time, are we not? Did you know what the Bible says, how we're supposed to treat our enemies? We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to do good to them. We're supposed to heap coals of fire upon their head. Really, we are to destroy our enemies by making them our friends. When's the last time any of us did such a thing? I mean, this is the Christian way. We say we're people of faith. Don't you think God brings these people into our life for a reason? Sure he does. What kind of faith are you expressing then during those times? Are you abandoning the faith altogether? Are you doing unto them as they have done unto you? Do you follow the golden rule? Do unto them before they do unto you? Do you take vengeance in your own hand? Do you respond in like manner as it's been done to you? You say, well, what should I do when someone rears up against me or says some unkind thing about me? Well, why don't you do what David did? Commit their case to the Lord. And allow God to prove that you are a Christian by the way you respond to those who don't treat you the right way. You know, we all have only one life down here. You know, most of us have given too much of it already to chase and fleas. The things that do not matter for eternity and the things in particular that belong to God need to be left in God's hands. Years ago, I preached a sermon on get out of my seat. How many remember that? Okay. What was it about? Basically, my point was, you know what, when I get up in the morning, sometimes Connie likes to go in that seat where I have time with the Lord. And she does that to just, I don't know why she does. She's just ornery. And I got to say, you need to get out of there. That's my chair. That's where I spend time with the Lord. So up and out of there. And then I said, you know what, how many of us are taking God's seat and doing things that only God should be doing? And one of those things I spoke on was vengeance. We like to take vengeance and get our pound of flesh from our enemies. That's not our job. Vengeance is mine, saith the what? Now think of this. David had a sword hanging from his side. He had the opportunity before him to put Saul's life to an end. And yet he says, this is God's anointed. This man belongs to the Lord. I'm not going to kill him. Now you may have a husband, a son, a daughter, a neighbor, a wife, a friend, someone in the church, or maybe someone at work with whom you are angry at. You attempt to bring that person down with your words. And when you do that, you stab them with your words and you kill them with your tongue. You hurt what people think of them by what you say to others about them. We're all guilty of this. Sometime or another, we've done this sin. Now, this is one of the things that I've been trying to work on, especially since the beginning of the year. And you know, Connie's a big help to me. And I can be a big help to her, too. But that's important, what we say about others. You know, if you're living close to God, as David was, you're not going to do such things. The Bible teaches that David spared the king. Not only did he spare the king, but he stayed his men. Now think about this. David said, I'm not going to do it. How many think there were some other volunteers there? Okay, I'm not. My hand's not going to be up on, but Joab, yeah. You do what you feel's right. How many think Saul would have survived that? No. Well, how about when you're in a situation like that and you got friends around there and they start attacking your enemy? Are you going to stay them or are you just going to let them do that? Well, I'm not saying anything. Let them run their mouth. Why don't you stay them? Why don't you tell them, you know what, that's not how we do things. That's not what we should be doing. David stayed his men. You say, why did he do that? Because he had an opportunity to prove his followers that his faith was real in God. The Lord provides for us a wonderful opportunity to prove to our closest associates that we are trusted in God when our enemy attacks us. Tell me, who would you rather follow? Somebody who loves God and lives right, or someone who mistreats their enemies? Who would you rather follow? Someone who has faith in God? Or a leader who's out of the will of God? It is a part of our old sinful nature to get even with people. However, David stayed his servants. He said, no, don't do anything to them. Now, how many think these 600 men perhaps were tired of running from Saul? Maybe they were up to here. You know, you ever get up to here? Yeah, I do. You know, sometimes I say, you know, I've tried, Lord, to live peaceably with all men, but you know what? It's over. That's scripture. And maybe my patience isn't as great as others. But it happens. Now, I believe they're tired of hiding in caves, living amongst the wild goats. And they're thinking, man, this could all be over in just one quick sword thrust. But David says, no. And he demonstrates great faith in the Lord. You know, people in authority will at some time do something with which we do not agree. Will they not? Sure. Now, what holds us in place? What keeps our behavior in the right direction when things go wrong? Well, the thing that goes, if we are going to do the right thing, we better have a proper attitude toward God concerning those in authority, and that goes a long way. You know, some of us can't even go on the road without somebody cutting us off and losing our Christianity. Now, for those who do such a thing, I don't expect you to be willing to treat your enemies this way. You have a lot of room for growth. Crazy, isn't it? David's men wanted to have David kill him, but David stayed his men. Now notice, David spoke with Saul. Now, that took quite a bit of courage. He's only got 600 men. Saul's got 3,000. Now, he was in a place of safety because it was at some distance that he spoke to Saul. But his heart was smitten because he had cut off part of Saul's garment in order to prove that he wouldn't kill him. Now, he steps out and he speaks to Saul. Now, we find his speech in verse 8, which says, David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked upon him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. What does our memory verse tell us? What if David shook his fist at Saul and said, hey, you rascal! I'm telling you, you don't ever come near me again. How many think that would have worked real well? A soft answer turneth away what? But grievous words stir up what? You know, we could make matters worse by the way we talk to other people. You know, sometimes we can say the right thing in the wrong manner. And then we get to thinking, well, that's just who I am. They need to suck it up, Buttercup. Well, maybe you need to change your tone. Maybe you need to learn how to phrase things properly where you don't chafe everybody you speak to. How about that? How many think that would be the Christian thing to do? Well, David humbles himself before Saul. You know, many times we make a bad situation worse by the tone of our own voice. Now, David did not speak to Saul that way. He humbled himself. David said, you know, people have been telling you things that aren't true. So how does one get that cleared up? What are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to go out there and tell everybody else that ain't true and badmouth the person that's lying about you, right? After all, public confession is good for the soul, especially when it's somebody else's sin. How about just keeping your mouth shut? How about letting God deal with it? How about just handing the matter over to the Lord? You know, go in the right spirit. You know, this is the way people are supposed to live when they call themselves Christian. David said, you know what? Some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee and said, I will not. Then verse 11 goes on to say, moreover, my father, see the skirt of the robe in my hand. What in the world is he wearing a skirt for? No wonder he cut it off. I ought to cut the whole thing off. Dude, you're a man. No, I'm only kidding. But you know what? Even just that little bit of damage he did caused the tender-hearted David to be convicted. You see, it was more important to David that he be right with God than anything else. When you hear someone talking like David talk, you know he's someone who's right with the Lord. And you know what else? It's a pleasure to be around such a person. No wonder the Bible has so much to say about David. More than Paul. More than Moses. David was somebody important to the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. When David made this speech, Saul's heart, if only for a moment, was touched. And we read that he wept. What a day. What an event. When they went back into the cave, though, Saul was going to break his promise just a little later. But here's the thing. Those 600 men had more respect for David than they ever did before. They believed that David was God's man. And they determined to follow David because he was. David had a submissive, humble spirit that God gave him authority. You know, he didn't have to pretend he had it. Saul had a rebellious spirit. God gave him no authority. And rebellion will always make you a prisoner. But you know what? You can be free by living within the confines of God's word. You know, if you're lost and undone today, you ought to trust Christ as your Savior. He did die for you. He was buried and rose again. Offers you the free gift of salvation. It can be yours. All you got to do is ask. But what about if you're a Christian? Isn't it about time we trust the Lord? Isn't it about time we stop chasing fleas? Make our life count for something for God? We need to come clean. We need to confess our sin to the Lord about taking matters into our own hands instead of giving them over to God. It's vitally important, folks, that we be right with Him. All right, we got 2 minutes and we'll have some more. You got 2 minutes. Do what you got to do.